You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
First Timothy chapter number 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much again for your blessings, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, Father. Thank you for this wonderful church, Lord. Thank you for these faithful people, God, who are in your house. And I pray, God, that you would meet in a special way. I pray, Father, you'd hide me behind the cross. Fill me with the Holy Spirit's power, Lord. Give me wisdom. Help me to say what I ought to say and not to say anything that I shouldn't say, Father. And I pray, God, that this message would be a help and an encouragement to your people, Father. We love you so much, Lord. We thank you for all your blessings. In your name, your son's name, we pray. Amen. So just what we were doing about a few minutes ago, we were praying for the needs of others. We call that intercession. So you say, what is intercession, though? Your first blank, intercession is going to God for the purpose of petitioning on behalf of others so God will meet their needs. We see in our bulletin, if you look at the prayer bulletin, it says prayer, supplications, and intercessions. And I don't want to make this and say that I'm this great person at interceding on behalf of other people's prayers. But when Pastor had asked me to preach, and I was praying on what to preach about, I'd actually taught in our Bible class quickly, very briefly, on intercession. And then recently, I had a friend share a podcast with me about intercessory prayer. And then as I was doing my daily Bible reading, I was finding little prayers and different things like that, and I felt this is where God was leading to. And I thought it fit this night, as this is our prayer meeting night. And again, I'm no expert in this area of prayer, and I would say that I'm the person in this room the most that would need to work on their prayer life or need to work on making intercessions for other people or praying for others' needs. And this was a challenge to me. So that's the first blank. Intercession is going to God for the purpose of petitioning on behalf of others so God will meet their needs. Simple definition that we can use for it. And we are not praying again for our needs, but we are praying for the needs of others. And Paul begins chapter 2 by exhorting or strongly encouraging Timothy to, first of all, the priority, make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made to or for all men. He doesn't say just to the saved, just to your friends, just to those you like, but he says for all men. And we see that prayer in church is very important. I'm glad that we have a time of prayer, that we get to meet and we pray together, we bring needs to God. And it's a very important time, and it should be treated as such. And it could be those, maybe some of those people, they're not even praying for that need themselves. They may not be even saved, but we are praying for them. And we know we all have our own needs. And it's easy for me to pray for my own needs because I know what I need and I know what to pray for. And it's easy to do that. But God wants us to pray for the needs of others. He wants us to pray for the needs of others. Paul made it the priority. He said, first of all, and we need to pray for others. And Paul directs Timothy to make intercession for all men. Again, not just your family, your friends, the saved, but all men. And intercession is a specific type of prayer. And we know that God wants us to communicate with him. We know this builds our relationship with him. And then the Bible also tells us in verse number 3 that it is good and acceptable in the sight of God, this prayer. And I know we all can say that we've probably been guilty at one point or another where somebody has told us, can you pray for this? And we say, oh, I'll pray for that. And then it just slips our mind. And I know I can raise my hand and I can say I've been guilty of that, but that shouldn't be the case. And now, if I tell somebody that, I get my phone and I put it on my notes to remind me to pray for that need. But we ought to be praying for each other. So, blank number 2, who can be an intercessor? Who can be an intercessor? Anyone. There's no specific person. There's no just a select few that can be intercessors. Anybody can be an intercessor. My wife was telling me when they were younger and they wanted pizza or something from their parents, not her oldest sibling wouldn't go, her oldest sister, not her brother, but the youngest sibling would go to her parents. And she would intercede My wife would say they wanted pizza. She would go and ask their dad, "Dad, can we get pizza?" And he would say yes. He most likely wouldn't say yes to the older siblings, but her younger sister would intercede and ask on their behalf. Maybe she didn't even want the pizza, but on their behalf, she would go and she would ask their dad to get pizza. And she was the intercessor for them, but she was the only one. But in our church, we all can be intercessors. There's not just one person that can do it or just a select few. Anyone can be an intercessor. And we can all do this. So who can we pray for? I have a list. We can pray for our families. And it's important. Our families need prayer. Everybody needs prayer. But our families should be on the top of our prayer list. I think of my mom. My mom and my dad, they always pray for me. I know they prayed for their children, all of them. And once, a couple of days ago when I knew, or I already knew I was preaching, I always text my mom. I always say, "Mom, can you pray for me? I'm preaching on Wednesday." And she always shoots me back a text pretty quick. And she said, "Oh, I'm praying for you." And her and my dad, they prayed for me. But I'm thankful for the prayers of my mother. I'm thankful for those prayers. But not only, she prayed for me as I grew up. She prayed for all my siblings as we were growing up. But parents, it's important that you guys pray for your children. Pray for the needs of your children. And children, not only that, go on behalf of your parents, and you pray to God for your parents, their needs as well. And this might be a tough one, but siblings, we need to be praying for each other as well. The siblings that you have, we need to be praying for our families. It's important. We need that prayer. And then we see our church. Our church needs prayer. Our pastor, he needs prayer. He needs prayer. His family needs prayer. Our deacons, the laymen of our church, church families that we have, the staff, different ministries, all those require prayer. And it's important that we put them before God. And how much more can our church do if we bring these prayer requests to God? We can pray for our friends. And the Bible says also pray for the unsaved. That's what God says, that he wants to see all men saved. Maybe we have some friends or people that we know that aren't saved. Again, going back to our family, maybe we have family members that aren't saved. And I know, and I see in our prayer bulletin, we have a list of a need of salvation. And I know that list can be a lot longer. I know that pretty much, I think all of us in this room know somebody who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. And we need to go on their behalf. They're not praying to get saved, but we can go and intercede on their behalf and pray to God and ask God to open that, or for them to open their heart to salvation. And our friends that we have, we may have friends that are struggling. They may have strayed away from God. They may be struggling with health needs, but our friends need prayers. We think of the missionaries that we support. And we have a prayer bulletin that we pass out during September, during our missions month. And it divvies up even our missionaries to certain days to who to pray for. But not only that, on the back of our bulletin, it tells how we can pray for them. And it's important for us to pray for our missionaries. We don't know the struggles that they're facing. We don't know exactly what they're going through or what may be happening. But it's important that we pray for them. We can pray for our coworkers that we have. Again, we may know some coworkers, or you may have some coworkers that aren't saved, that need God. They need salvation. Pray for them. And our government leaders, the Bible, if we read in verse number 2, it says, "For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." We need to pray for government leaders, our president. Again, we may not agree with everything, all their agendas, everything that they have, the vice president. We may not agree with our governor and what they do. They may have a liberal mindset, and it doesn't fit or doesn't what the Bible says, but we ought to still pray for them. God wants us to pray for them. We have to remember that God, he put them in control. It wasn't people voting. It's God put them in control. God is in control at the end of the day. He's in control of who's in the White House. He's in control of the governor of California. But we are still to pray for those people. We are to pray for their salvation. More than likely, they're not saved. They don't know Christ. We ought to pray for their salvation. We ought to pray that God gives them wisdom in the choices and the decisions that they make. We must remember that God is in charge, and he wants us to pray for them. It's easy to criticize them. It's easy to go and say that we don't agree with what their policies. It's easy to make fun of them, ridicule them. But God, we must respect the position that God has put them in and pray for them. Pray for their families. And it's important for us. And the Bible says this is good and acceptable to God. And again, this is another hard one, is praying for our enemies. Hopefully we don't have too many enemies, but Jesus, he had enemies. And Jesus said, pray for your enemies. And again, that's easier said than done. But we need to pray for them. We need to pray for those that they may hate us, they may not like us, they may talk bad about us. But I think our heart will change when we genuinely pray for them. Maybe we have a little dislike towards them, but when we pray for them, our heart might change towards them. And we ought to pray for the enemies that we might have. And hopefully, again, we don't have a lot, but that can happen to us. And then some examples of intercessors in the Bible. The first one we talk about is Abraham. Abraham, in your first blank, is in Genesis 18. God was fed up with the Sodom and Gomorrah, wicked, evil city, and God had plenty of mercy on Sodom and Gomorrah, plenty of mercy. And Abraham's nephew, Lot, lived there, and he pleaded with God. He said, God, save it for 50 righteous, 45 righteous, 40 righteous, 30 righteous. And he goes all the way down to 10 righteous. And he pleads with God, and he intercedes on the behalf of those wicked people. And God, he saved and spared Lot, as he was able to get away. But that was because Abraham interceded on his behalf. We didn't see Lot praying for those people, but we see Abraham praying for them. A great example, perhaps probably the greatest example of an intercessor in the Bible besides Jesus, number two, is Moses. Moses, three times we see in the Bible that Moses interceded on behalf of the nation of Israel. Three times. The first time being the golden calf, where he was up in Mount Sinai, and they turned wicked people, made a golden calf, were worshiping it. They forgot already what God had done for them. And they were out there, and their leader was Moses' brother, Aaron. And God was ready to destroy the children of Israel, ready. He was angry at them. And again, God already had mercy on them. But he was ready to destroy them. But Moses said, blot out my name out of thy book. And he went and he pleaded for those people. He interceded. We see again in Numbers 14, Israel, they sinned by refusing to go into the promised land. God had already promised them that that was their land. And we know that we see the 10 bad spies and the two good spies went in, Caleb and Joshua, and they brought back a good report. The other ones, they saw giants. They didn't think they could take the land. But God already had promised them the land. They sinned by disobeying God, by their lack of faith. And God, again, he became angry with the children of Israel, ready to destroy them. But Moses, again, interceded for them. And you know what Moses could have done? God could have destroyed them. It could have made Moses' life a lot easier. God even said he would start a whole new race with Moses. It could have been a lot easier. But Moses, in his mercy, he interceded and he prayed for those people. He could have had it a lot easier, but he prayed for those people. And then again, Korah had a rebellion in Numbers 16. And again, Moses prayed. He prayed for the children of Israel. He interceded for them on their behalf. And then Moses, we see, he also prayed for his siblings. He prayed for Aaron. God was ready to destroy Aaron once he was the leader of the golden calf. He was in charge of all that. But Moses prayed for him. Moses prayed for his sister Miriam. After she, along with Aaron, they rebelled against Moses' authority. And God defended Moses and inflicted Miriam with leprosy. But Moses' prayer saved his sister from permanent banishment and reproach. So we see Moses praying constantly for other people. His prayer was unselfish. And then we see Job. Job interceded, blank number three. Job, he interceded for his friends in Job 42. And the Lord blessed him double of what we had. We see that blessing after he prayed for his friends. And then blank number four, we see Daniel. Chapter 9, Daniel, he prayed for his people. The Bible says that he rent his clothes. He fasted. He was earnest about his prayer. And then we see number five, Esther, in chapter number 8. Esther 8, she prayed. She went on behalf of her people to the king to reverse the plan that Haman had of killing all the Jews. She went on their behalf, and she interceded. And the Bible says that she fell at the king's feet and besought him with tears. So there was earnestness in her prayer. She cared for her people. And number six, this is probably, I don't even know if it's going to fit in your blank, but the parable of the friend at midnight. So you could just put the midnight friend in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. And this friend, I'll go there. You don't have to go there, but I'll turn to Luke. And if you want to join, you can. But Luke chapter number 11, verses 5 through 8. And it says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And it's important, this friend, he went on behalf. This bread wasn't for him, but it was for the guest that he had coming. And he went, the Bible says, that importunity, that persistence that he had, he prayed. And he prayed for his friend to give him that bread, and his friend did. But again, it wasn't for himself. It was for somebody else. And then lastly, we see number seven, Jesus, the greatest intercessor of all, and he is our mediator. And we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And we look, if you looked at John 17, Jesus, he prays for his disciples. Perhaps the greatest prayer we see, intercessory prayer that we see, he prayed for them. And he prayed for them greatly. He prayed for them. He prayed that God would bless them. But we constantly see Jesus praying for others. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, he's our high priest. He is our mediator. He is the one that we have our prayer requests, and he takes them to God. He goes to God on our behalf, and he is there for us. That is why we pray in Jesus' name. Jesus, even while he was on the cross, as he was being crucified, as he was dying, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," to his enemies. And he prayed for them on the cross as he was dying, praying for others. We see the unselfishness of Christ that he had. D.L. Moody said, "I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher. Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray." That's a great quote. And then we see some characteristics of intercessory prayer. The first one we see is unselfishness. And we see that in John 17. For sake of time, we don't have time to go there, but if you would like to on your own time, look at that. But intercessory prayer is characterized by unselfishness. Praying for others is going to take time. It's going to take a little bit more time out of our schedule to pray for other requests that they might have. And it's going to require us to be unselfish. Christ was unselfish when he prayed for others. Moses, he focused not on his needs, but the needs of others. He focused on the needs of the children of Israel. And even he prayed for those who treated him badly. And it's going to take us, we can't be selfish with our prayer time if we are to be intercessors. And he was not conditional in his prayers. Moses was unselfish when he prayed for others. I had this card that the church where I grew up at, I brought it up here. At least I think I did. Here it is. My pastor that I grew up at the church, his mother wrote me a card. She's home with the Lord now. But she wrote this to me when I was in Bible college, my first year. A very unselfish lady, very unselfish. And her name was Vera. And she wrote me this card when I came back from the first semester. And she said, "Hijo," for those of you who don't speak Spanish, it means son. Just in case, if you didn't know, I'm just kidding. I don't speak Spanish, so I had to use Google Translate for that. But she said, "Hijo, I pray for you every day. I ask God to keep you faithful and to keep you safe wherever you may be." She said, "Never give up on the things you want to come true. There are no limits to the good you can do." And she ended it with, "I pray that your blessings will be many and your troubles will be few." And you know what? This card really means a lot to me. I keep this card. It's a little bit bent, a little bit broken. But when she wrote this card to me, it reminded me that I had somebody praying on my behalf. But not only that, in college, there were some tough times. And just like in life, there's going to be tough times. But I kept this, and I knew somebody was praying for me. I knew somebody was interceding for me. And she was a very unselfish woman. That's what it's going to take for us to intercede and pray for others. It's going to take unselfishness. Number two, we see earnestness. In James 5:16, the Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And not we don't when we pray, it's not just, "Oh, bless this person, bless this person, bless this person, take care of this person, bless this person." But it should be fervency. There should be earnestness in our prayers. Like I said, Esther, she cried during her prayer. Abraham pleaded with God. Daniel cried out to God. They were prayers of earnest, having fervency in their prayers. Number three, we see boldness. Boldness. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace." Find grace to help in time of need. But we can come through that boldness because we have Christ as our mediator. And we need that boldness. When I asked my wife out for the first time, I'll tell you what, I did not have any boldness. There was no boldness. I had texted her before, I think it was after chapel, and I said, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" And she said, "Sure." So I went up to her to go ask her, and I was super nervous. And when I went up to her car, she was eating inside her car, and I'd asked her, and I said, "Hey, would you like to, but you don't have to say yes if you don't want to. And it's up to you, but if you want to, you can." And she was basically like, "Get to the question already." And then I finally asked her out, but there was no boldness there. I didn't have too much boldness when I asked her out. Thank God she said yes, but there was no boldness. But when we have prayer, we can come to the throne of God with boldness because we have Christ with us and we can come boldly. Number four, I see persistence. We talked about the friend, the parable of the friend at midnight. He had persistence. Persistence. He kept knocking and knocking and asking. And we need to have that persistence. Our prayer requests sometimes won't be answered for in a day, in weeks, in months, years. It could be a long time. But we need to have persistence when we pray. And number five, we need our prayer, as we're praying to God, they need to be spirit-filled, spirit-filled. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit's power. It's important. We need it in our lives. And these are some hindrances that can be to our prayer. Unconfessed sin could hindrance the Holy Spirit in our life. Unforgiveness, if we have bitterness towards somebody else, that could hinder our prayers. Wrong motives. It's important, too, when we're praying for others or behalf of others, we should have the right motive. It should be in God's will, not something that doesn't bring honor and glory to God. It should be something in God's will. And then disobedience to God's word. If we have disobedience to God's word, we can't expect Him to answer our prayer requests. And then just some applications as we close. Intercession should be a part of our daily lives. It should be something that, I don't know when your prayer time is, and hopefully you have a prayer time, but it should be something that's part of our daily life, something that we do daily. Whether it be in the morning, the evening, or the late at night, we should have a time of prayer. And number two, we should pray unselfishly for others, even for those who are unkind to us. Just as Moses prayed for the children of Israel, they complained about him, they criticized him. Jesus prayed for those who were crucified, who killed them, but he still prayed for them. We need to pray unselfishly. And then number three, we need to make the time to pray. We need to make the time to pray. And again, I want to emphasize that I'm no expert in this area, and it's something that God challenged me in my life that I know I need a lot of work on to pray, to grow in this area. And if we can just pray for each other, pray for the teenagers of this church, pray for our deacons, pray for our pastor, pray for the staff, pray for each other. There's so much that God can use and so much that God can do with this church. Andrew Murray, he wrote a book called The Ministry of Intercession, which is a great read. I would encourage you to read that. And he says, nothing will so test and stimulate the Christian life as the honest attempt to be an intercessor. And I think it would be a blessing if you really tried praying for other people. And again, maybe you're not going to start off 20 minutes, 30 minutes, but if we could start just 5 minutes a day praying for somebody else, praying for their needs, putting them before us. And then just a song that was, don't worry, I won't sing it. I don't want to hurt your ears. But it says, Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. So is intercession a part of your prayer time? Are you praying on behalf of someone else? God, last blank, God wants intercession to be a priority in our lives. So keep praying, keep praying. And I know we have a praying church, but I know that we can all grow in that area. We can all pray more. We can all intercede for somebody. There may be somebody that has needs that we can pray for. And I would encourage you, don't give up praying. Keep praying. Prayer works. And we can see God answer those prayer requests.